Eat Well, Interventions to Promote Healthy Eating Habits, Evaluation and Recommendations, is an EU-funded project that aims to provide European member states with best practice guidelines for developing policy interventions that will encourage healthy eating across Europe. Running from April 2009 to September 2012, the project looks at the national policy interventions that have been used to try to encourage physical activity and healthy eating in European Union member states. It aims to identify the gaps, successes and failures for these campaigns and develop best practice guidelines that can be used by policymakers in the future to develop successful healthy eating policy interventions. In this podcast, we're speaking to Eat Well Work Package leader Bhavani Shankar from the University of London. Bhavani, can you tell us about yourself?
My name is Bhavani Shankar, and I'm Professor of International Food, Agriculture and Health at SOAS at the University of London. I'm also a research leader in something called the Leverhulme Centre for Integrative Research in Agriculture and Health, which is a collaboration across colleges at the University of London, looking at issues at the intersection of agriculture, food and health. I edit a journal called Food Policy, and most of the work that I do is in the economics of diets, food policy and health.
Why is the Eat Well project important?
Well, as we know quite well, the Western world is facing a major obesity crisis and a crisis to do with diet-related chronic disease. And almost every day you have some new headlines about new investigations about obesity and all the problems that it's causing and the burden that it's imposing upon healthcare systems around Europe. So this is a very important topic at the moment. Now, dietary policy is a potentially powerful way to actually affect health outcomes arising from poor diets. A lot of focus within the health sector tends to be on fairly small micro interventions, like providing advice in doctor surgeries about diets, things like that. Now, these might be very effective, but there are questions about whether these very small interventions actually scale up quite easily and what the costs of scaling up might be. But the policy, on the other hand, for example, a policy that changes the prices of different kinds of foods or a policy that imposes new restrictions on advertising, could potentially affect the entire population. And even if it has a small effect, as long as it has an effect on the entire population, it tends to be very cost effective and so can be quite a useful way of achieving health outcomes at relatively low cost, which is a very important area for investigation. And the area is very under-researched. There are pockets which are better researched than others, but we're trying to make advances across a spectrum of areas. And so the Eat Well project will hopefully provide evidence that leads to better decision-making, policy-making within Europe, and policy-making that ends up providing cost-effective solutions to these diet-related health problems.
Your leading work on dietary policy evaluations. Can you explain more about this?
I lead a work package on the quantitative estimation of diet policy effects. So basically, we're looking at a range of policies that have been implemented in the past across Europe, and we're actually trying to look at the effects of these policies upon for example, diets and consumption, and in some cases upon health outcomes. And we're doing this by drawing upon existing secondary data, large-scale secondary data that are available. And so we're taking some of these flagship policies, using statistical methods, and using these large data sets to actually say something about what the effect of the policy might have been. And in the process of doing this, we have to control for various other things that might be affecting people's diets. And so we apply a range of statistical techniques to do this. So within this work package, for example, we've looked at flagship policies from across Europe, diet-related policies, for example, the salt campaign in the UK, the five-a-day fruit and vegetable campaigns in the UK, in Spain, and in Denmark. We've looked at a vending machine ban in France, and we've looked at the data and tried to tease out what the effects of these policies have been on diets, whether they've actually succeeded or not.
Can you tell us about some of your results?
For example, taking the salt campaign in the UK as an example, several years ago, the UK put in place a policy which tried to lower population intakes of salt in the UK, which was extremely high. And it used public information campaign, a fairly large advertising campaign, social marketing campaign, along with working with industry to reformulate products and lower the salt content in products. So it was a fairly large and well-studied policy at the time. And it received a lot of attention in the media. And following the policy, there were a couple of small studies indicating that the policy might have been successful in bringing about up to a 10% reduction in salt intakes. The problem is this has never been really verified rigorously. And in fact, it has been contested by some researchers who looked at some data and said, we don't really find any indication that this has happened. So what we did was we went back and used some new slices of data, analyzed this data to see what the effect of the policy might have been. And having looked at all the other things that might affect salt intakes, we concluded that the policy could be described as indeed having successfully reduced population salt intake by 10%. So we can find some confirmation for the success of the salt campaign as claimed. Similarly, we've also looked at advertising restrictions in the UK. And again, there's very little information about whether the restrictions on advertising of certain less healthy foods to children have been successful or not. And we looked at the evidence, and right now the evidence that we have doesn't indicate that there's been a very strong effect upon consumption of foods as a result of this advertising restriction. So these are a couple of examples of the sorts of things that we've done in this work package.
Based on your experience, what insight can you share into the process of dietary policy evaluation?
One problem is that evaluation requirements, the data that you need, the methods that you should apply in evaluating policies are hardly ever considered when policies are put in place. There's not very much thinking about how we might rigorously look at the impacts of these policies. Quite often there are small scale studies done by the government department that's responsible for the policy. And this might simply look at a before and after picture at a relatively small scale. Or there might be a study which looks at the effects of the policy on attitudes of consumers or their preferences as stated to survey questions and so on. But there is relatively little on how much behavioral change has actually happened. There's relatively little on how much consumption or intake of nutrients has changed as a result of the policy. So when we looked at the policies that have been put in place across Europe, there are more than 100 policies that are relevant. A very small handful of these have actually been evaluated in any kind of rigorous way. So there's a huge gap. And what we found in the process of doing this was that this gap is not constrained by a lack of methods. In terms of dietary policy evaluation, the methods have advanced quite a long way along. There are really good methods available out there. You don't have to run huge randomized control trial experiments to find out the effects of these policies. You can actually use available secondary data in creative ways and statistical methods to tease out the effects of the policy. The problem is that data collection has lagged far behind. To give you an example, to do this kind of evaluation, it would be really useful if data on food consumption from households and individuals were collected at the same time and in the same survey as data on health outcomes. But that doesn't happen. You typically have a survey which handles health aspects and a survey which handles consumption and expenditure aspects. And if countries could actually bring these data collection aspects together, that make a huge contribution to dietary policy evaluation. So one of the things we're doing in this project is actually providing some advice about data collection priorities in the future, as well as some advice on what sorts of methods might be used on these data.
How have your results been used so far?
Well, the results that we have, we're still a little way away from the end of the project. And what we've done is at every stage, our results are fed into a different stage of the project. So we started with a work packet which looked at all the past interventions. And then that information fed into actually deciding which ones we should look at in more detail for quantitative evaluation, for example. And then once we had the quantitative evaluations in hand, we looked at that evidence along with evidence from other work packages and from stakeholder feedback and so on. And then we put forward a set of policy recommendations now, which we are in the process of fine-tuning.
What do you hope will be the impact of this work?
What we hope will happen is that these results will take the form of recommendations to countries in the European Union, and we hope that a coherent dietary policy strategy will emerge from this somewhere down the road. We hope to make an impact on policymaking down the road. We hope that that policymaking will be evidence-based, partly because of our contribution. And we hope that the advice that we're providing on data collection and on methods will be taken forward and will result in improvements in the future. And we hope that eventually we will have an impact upon health of the populations of Europe. That's the ultimate aim. And there's a long chain of causation there. And we hope we're somewhere halfway through that and we will eventually achieve that health outcome.